Happy Tuesday, Cyclone Nation. Welcome to this week's Channel Seed Podcast here at CycloneFanatic.com. I'm Chris Williams. Right before I head out to Dayton, bright and early tomorrow morning, looking forward to the nine-hour drive. It's a beautiful countryside, I'm told. I want to welcome Adam Gray to the podcast today. Adam, how you doing, my friend?
Good, Chris. How you doing?
I'm all right. I'm all right.
You ready to go cover a couple victories out there in Dayton?
I hope so.
Oh, it's going to be great.
I hope so. I think I've covered, I can't add up how many postseason games I've covered of the Iowa State Cyclones, and they've only won one, which was the Oklahoma game on Thursday.
So, you know, recent history suggests, yeah.
It's getting better.
We're trending up.
Trending up is accurate.
Now, Chris, who's sending you out to Dayton?
That would be the folks at Channel Seed, who also sponsored this podcast. Oh. Step it up to the plate. We've never covered an NCAA tournament at Cyclone Fanatic.
Fantastic partnership with Channel Seed. Really happy that they stepped up to the plate to send Chris out there. Give all the fans listening to the podcast a Cyclone voice out there. Chris will be covering videos with Matt Van Winkle, and all thanks to Channel Seed for covering that.
Channel.com, find that Channel Seedsman near you. Good dudes. They're really big Iowa State guys, too.
Absolutely big Iowa State. Yeah. Watch the Oklahoma game with Scott. So maybe I need to team up with Scott for the NCAA tournament.
Apparently, Benchwarmers was off the hook.
It was.
During that game is what I've been told.
A little tension. For some reason, a lot of fans were nervous during that Oklahoma game.
Man, if you would have told me. I mean, I thought Iowa State had a run at some point in that game. You could just tell, I mean, because that's how this Iowa State team plays. I mean,
yep.
They can score a lot in a hurry. But they looked so dead out there. And, man, Will Clyburn just took that game over.
He did.
He was a man out there.
He flipped a switch. He really did.
Yeah. And, you know, that was kind of my story after that game that I was running with. And it was almost as if, like, the players were offended when I asked them about. All of them were, except Corey Lucius, and Corey kind of agreed, yeah, that was a whole new level. Edgem wanted nothing to do with it. He's like, Will's been that guy all year. Niang kind of, no, he hasn't. That was a new level that we saw from Will Clyburn for about 4 or 5 minutes.
Well, you know, I will say, I thought the Kansas State game at home, he did something very similar to that taking over.
Yeah, I agree with that in the BYU.
Yeah.
And he had that run versus Baylor. But, I mean, I thought for the first time he looked like an NBA player.
Well, and there was so much on the line, too, when he did it.
Yeah.
Because if we lose that game Sunday, we're sitting there sweating. We're feeling like maybe how we felt when Harrison Barnes stood up to the podium to announce what high school he was going to. That's kind of how we probably have been feeling.
Yeah, I still think they would have gotten in.
No, I do, too. But
by the way it looks now.
We would have had a lot of the nervous fans, though, is what I'm saying.
Well, and it was, you know, I won't lie, it was nervous regardless. When it went down to the wire like that, I mean, I think we all knew Iowa State was in. But, I mean, I was over with the team at Hoiberg's house during that announcement. There were a lot of nervous people in that room. And I think it was more just that's just human nature. When you're one of the last ones called, even though you're confident, you're wondering, where are we at? Where are we at? It happened. But regardless, you know, it could have been a – boy, that would have been like – could you just – I was telling folks that our server probably would have just blown up had Iowa State been kept out of the NCAA tournament. That would have been unreal. But luckily, that's not the case. Iowa State gets Notre Dame. Talked about it last night on the radio show. I like the fact that Iowa State's playing in Notre Dame and not a VCU. I just feel like this team responds better to the big name, the bright lights. We've seen that over the years. I think Kansas was probably their two best games of the year, guy could argue, offensively.
Without a doubt.
Yeah. And they lost the games, but they played really well in both of them. And I don't know. I mean, Notre Dame isn't Kansas, but I like the fact that they are, they're going up against a brand name, a Big East school. I think a lot comes with the Big East moniker.
Yep.
You know, and I think that not that it should ever be hard for your guys to get up for an NCAA tournament team, but you see it year in, year out, where teams kind of sleepwalk into that first round. I don't see that happening with Iowa State on Friday.
I don't either. And hopefully the Oklahoma game was a good wake-up call that to start the tournament, you got to come out ready to play right away.
Yeah.
So,
I think a lot, though, they got to get Corey Lucius healthy. He's got that bum hip. TJ talked about it on Miller and Brinson last night. And that to me is... If he's struggling, we've seen how hard it's really hard for this team right now, the way it is set up. And don't read into anything about next year or anything like that. But it's hard when Boo Boo Paolo is your one guy. Because, I mean, basically with the way Iowa State wants to play, everybody needs to be able to score out there.
Yes.
And when Boo Boo Paolo is out there, that's just not the case at this point in time with the type of ball that they're wanting to play. Lucius has to be better than 2 of 18 from the field, you know, next week in Dayton. There's just no doubt about that. Clyburn, obviously a key. Edgem Niang, foul trouble. But I think that if I had to circle one thing, it's got to be consistent play from Corey Lucius, and hopefully he's 100%.
I completely agree with you. I'm hopeful that we saw non-conference Corey Lucius in the Big 12 tournament, and now we're going to the NCAA tournament.
I don't even know if it was that, though. I just felt like he...
You think the hip was a big deal?
He didn't look the same. I mean, I was writing that all weekend.
His confidence looked shot. Like, well, he had just zero confidence.
It didn't look like... I thought that Corey Lucius in the first half of the season didn't look engaged. I thought that it was more careless. I thought that it was... He was just passing time until he was done with his college basketball career. I didn't feel that way over the weekend. I mean, he was mentally engaged. He was being a leader. He just looked off. And you know, when your jump shot, for instance, when something's going wrong in that lower body, that affects your jump shot. You're getting a different lift. He was not slacking off. It was nothing like that. It was just a simple fact that it looked like he was off a tick, is what I thought. So hopefully, you know, whatever it is, I don't think it's anything serious. I mean, he's going to play. There's no doubt in my mind about that. They need to get him back to where he was, because when he was playing well, I mean, he had a really good season.
He did have a really good season.
In the Big 12. I mean, he's kind of the scapegoat on the boards where people like to blow him up for some reason. But I think that he I think that they're probably the most undervalued player on Iowa State's team.
I've argued with people all year, if you're looking for a guy that might be the most valuable player, in my opinion, it might be Corey Lucius, because there's no one else at the point guard position you can put in that can help us do the things that he does. And I've always said all year, when he's out of the game, our offense just does not flow the same way. Edgem might be a lot of fans think Edgem, and I won't disagree with that either. But Edgem, if he gets in foul trouble, we can put Booker in and we can kind of get by.
Yeah.
I don't think we can get by without Corey Lucius.
No, not against a good team.
No.
You saw that against Kansas. That second half run against Oklahoma when Boo Boo Paolo was in the game, Boo Boo did a nice job of doing what Boo Boo does.
Yeah.
But at that point, I mean, what did Iowa State – Oklahoma went like 8 minutes without a field goal or something like that. I mean, this was a total team deal that was going on. Clyburn just went into beast mode. Edgem was just a – animal at the end of that basketball game. I just feel like, and it does concern me for next year, and we don't need to get into that. We're talking NCAA tournament right now on the Channel C podcast. It does concern me for next year as far as the point guard goes. I think Boo Boo Paolo is a great six-man type player. I just, the way they're playing ball, your one has to be able to score.
Absolutely.
And he has not shown the ability to do that over his career at Iowa State. He has a very valuable role on this basketball team. You saw Chris Babb's numbers inflate when Boo Boo Paolo came back to the lineup. He provides defense, a burst. He's quick. But they got to have Lucius scoring, especially in March. This is one of the reasons why you bring this guy on, because he's a March Madness-type player. He's played in what? 11 or 12 NCAA tournament games, you need him to be at his best.
He's played in more by himself, I think, than the rest of our team combined. Am I right
on that? That would be – I can't imagine anybody else being in that mix. Yeah, I hadn't heard that stat, but that would make sense.
I'm making that up right now on the spot, but it just seems like it'd probably be believable.
Well, I mean, everybody else combined would have been played in two, the guys from last year, and I don't believe Clyburn ever played in one. So, yeah, it would be right very close.
Yeah.
Very close. No, I think that's a key. I think the bigs and foul trouble.
That's huge.
Well, because the thing is with that, I think if Niang doesn't pick up that cheap foul against Kansas, you know, it's with like 18:27 on the clock or something like that. That changed the whole dynamic of the game.
Yeah.
Because all of a sudden Niang and Edgem the same way, they quit defending. And you can't blame them. They're undersized. They're obsessed with being in foul trouble because it's been such a huge issue throughout the second half of the season. And what are they supposed to do, really? And against a team like Notre Dame with those bigs, you got to keep those guys healthy as far as fouls go. I don't know what the answer. I know the answer is not having Paolo and Percy Gibson in the game at the same time. No. I don't know why Fred went to the bench like he did early in that Kansas game. I mean, I thought that single-handedly may have lost the game for Iowa State because that run, Kansas got hot at that point, and you know, it was a disaster from there on out. I don't know what the answer is, but those guys, it just changes the dynamics of everything once they get into foul trouble.
It absolutely does. And did you see the Notre Dame player's quote?
No.
He said they can't make shots when they're on the bench with 3 to 4 fouls. So, I mean, he knows, the Notre Dame player knows, if he gets Edgem and Yang in foul trouble, Iowa State just isn't the same team.
I didn't see that quote.
Yeah.
Well, Bloom made a very astute point in his little preview that he did on Sunday night. He goes, this is not Scott Drew coach basketball team. Brazos, he's one of the better minds, I think, in the game. And you know they're going straight at those guys. With the tools he has, I don't mean tools derogatory, I mean just the pieces he has on his basketball, they're going straight at Melvin Edgem and straight at George Niang.
As they should.
Yeah, yeah, as anybody should, really.
I mean, they're a strong team, they're a physical team, and if Iowa State's shown anything all year, it's that they struggle against teams that are physical. And hopefully the Iowa State's offense can spread them out enough and take away a little bit of that physicality on offense. It's defense where they're going to struggle, and hopefully they can stand a foul trouble.
I thought that that was what disappointed me about Friday night. Not even that they lost. I mean, there's no shame in losing to Kansas and Kansas City in the Big 12 tournament. I actually think, and we'll talk about brackets here in a minute, I actually think Kansas is poised to make a run, and I'll get into that here momentarily. But where was I going with? Oh, yeah, physically, I thought that Iowa State, I didn't think that they manned up.
They didn't at all.
Yeah, that was as weak of a game as I've seen Iowa State, and this is not just the bigs. And I'll take George Niang and Melvin Edgem out of the equation, and those guys battle.
Yeah,
I'm not worried about those two. But I thought from top to bottom they didn't compete as far as, you know, the physical aspects of the basketball game. I didn't see slacking, but I just saw, you know, they were tentative. Kansas set the tone aggressive-wise.
Just use the word soft.
Well, yeah, it was.
It was
soft. It was.
And I hadn't really seen it since maybe the Cincinnati game to that extent. I mean, we've never been a physical team all year. I mean, I don't think any Iowa State fan would say that. But we had shown some toughness against Kansas in the past. When they hit us, we hit them back. But all of a sudden, it just wasn't there on Friday. It was a little disappointing, but I think we'll get it back for the tournament. I really do.
Yeah, I do too. And I think Kansas too. We can go on to that part of the conversation now here on the Channel C podcast. I think Kansas, earlier in the year, I didn't think that they were a team that I would look to even make it out of the first weekend, to be honest with you.
Well, I know you've never been a big fan of the point of their guards. You've never
Elijah Johnson. No, I haven't. I haven't. But I don't know. I watched them a lot this weekend. And the way that they're defending, you know, everybody makes such a big deal out of three-point shooting teams and teams that are tough matchups and whatnot when it comes to the NCAA tournament. But, I mean, if you do some research, generally teams that play good defense also make the Final Four.
Yes.
That's what I think Kansas makes them a wild card. One, because I think that they are undervalued probably. I think, sure, they're a one seed, but I think a lot of people have the mindset that they're not going to make it very far. Two factors, and then get your point. One, Bill Self.
Yep.
That's all you got to say.
Bill Self.
That's all you got to say. Yep. And two, that the way that they defend is going to be. You saw with Iowa State. I mean, Iowa State's one of the best offensive teams in America, and they looked very, very average on Friday night in Kansas City. Very average.
And do you think some of that was the fact that Kansas has seen us now for a third time?
Probably. Bill Self.
Yeah.
Bill Self. That's all I got to say.
Yeah.
I mean, fans hate him, and rightfully so, because he's beating the tar out of you a lot. But he's an elite basketball coach. I say it on this podcast all the time.
Best in the country.
Say, hey, Williams, you can start a program. Hire any coach you want. I'm hiring Bill Self. Won't think twice about it.
And, you know, I still find it funny, the Iowa State fans that don't like Bill Self because he's yelling and cussing at refs, we love Tim Floyd and Larry Stasiewicz when they did the same thing.
Yeah, and the same ones complain about Hoiberg not yelling and
exactly.
cussing.
Exactly. I mean, now, you know, Self was a little overboard, but it's okay.
Self,
who cares?
I mean, some of the comments that Self makes are just utterly arrogant. There's no other way to describe it. But if the guy, hey, win a national championship, and you know what I mean? You can
do whatever you want. Eight straight Big 12 championships now, you can be a little arrogant.
Homeboy can say whatever he wants, in my opinion.
Beat him. If you want him to shut up, beat him.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a brutal loss, though, for the fans. And I think a lot of it, I mean, it had to do with a lot of things. But, the media blew that thing so out of proportion. as far as the trilogy with Cam. But we had to. I mean, it was a huge story, and it would have been an amazing accomplishment had Iowa State won that. It's just sickening as a fan, though, to be really should have won those first two games.
Absolutely.
Absolutely imploded down in Lawrence, and then we know what happened in the Hilton screw job. Just about a month ago, but that was. But what do you think on Kansas, though? I mean, do you think they can make a run?
Well, I mean, let's take a look here. I mean, first, I find it very funny they put North Carolina in the 8-9 game right below them.
That's vintage NCAA tournament.
Do you want to? Do you want a story there or what? But you know what? I don't. Here's the thing with them. I still don't trust their offense enough.
Neither do I. I understand, but if your defense is so much better than everybody else's.
It depends a lot on the matchups. If they get a team that's similar to Iowa State where they can get a big that can pull Jeff Withey away from the basket and fill him in with a slashing roll, because Clyburn, we use him to slash, but he's not a great driver in my opinion. If a team has a slasher that can get to the paint, like a VCU would be a very tough matchup for Kansas.
It would.
I really think that.
This is my take on Kansas's bracket in the South. Obviously, you like them to win the 116. North Carolina or Villanova? I actually have Villanova winning that basketball game.
Do you see? I think North Carolina's turned it around a little bit.
Well, Villanova, man, how many top five teams have they beaten in the last 3 weeks? I mean, they're playing really good ball too, in a much better league than the ACC is the Big East.
I'm not a big Roy Williams fan, but I still think he's a lot better coach than.
All right, so we're gonna disagree right there. So I've got Kansas Villanova matching up. I actually think that Villanova could. As far as muscling up with a team, they can do that with Kansas about as well as anybody. As far as they're not going to, you know, what we saw with Iowa State back down.
No.
That will not happen with Villanova. Still, I mean, you got to give Kansas the edge.
Absolutely.
In that basketball game. I actually, I'm not dumb. I think that, I know it's not picking this, but I'm pondering. I think that South Dakota State is a very potential upset of Michigan. I think that Michigan's lost, they're like 6-6 in their last 12 basketball games. They're not playing very well.
They're not.
South Dakota State can score the ball. And we all know that Michigan, I mean, that's not really what they're built off of. If Michigan shows up, they should win the game. But I also think as far as a 13-4, I think that's one that you got to consider picking. Meaning that Kansas would get VCU or South Dakota State in the Sweet 16 if my bracket would hold. That's why, I mean, I think that then to get to the Elite Eight, I don't think it's crazy at all.
No, I don't think it's crazy. I mean, I agree with you. If I'm picking right now, I got Kansas in the Elite Eight. I got them losing the Elite Eight, though.
To Georgetown or Florida?
Florida.
Yeah, see, Florida, see, and I'm a big Georgetown fan.
Yes,
most people don't know this about me. I follow Georgetown basketball very closely. I grew up a disciple of Allen Iverson's, just absolutely loved AI. Wore the AI jersey around Clarinda, Iowa. A little bit of an odd combination there. But, no, I follow Georgetown a lot, and I'm actually afraid that they're going to get upset by Florida Gulf Coast. Having seen that team up close and personal and watched, because they played at Ames, right?
Yeah.
And having watched Georgetown, I've probably seen Georgetown play, I don't know, 10, 12 times this year. That's a team that scares me. They're never really a good tournament team under JT3. It always seems like they're disappointing you. I still think they get past them. I don't know if Georgetown.
So is you going to put Eric McKnight on Otto Porter? Is that the matchup?
Yeah,
exactly. It's favorable?
Porter is just a stud, man.
No, he's awesome.
See, and that's why I think that Georgetown doesn't implode this year, because he brings a whole different level.
He does.
To the Hoya roster. But the thing about Florida is they got a little bit of Iowa State in them, being that they can look like a top five team in the country one night, and then the next time out, Florida just looks like crap.
Well, see, I like them because they're balanced, because they shoot a lot of threes,
yeah.
But they also got some bigs down low that are physical and can score. And then let's be honest, they got Billy Donovan as a coach who's been there, he's done that.
Exactly.
You look at this region, the South region here, Kansas has been a number one team this year. Michigan's been a number one team this year. It's Florida? I think Florida has not been number one. They've been top two.
I believe Florida was back in the early in the season. I think they may have cracked number one.
A lot of people early on in the year thought they were the best team in the country. There's a lot of talent. I mean, if Kansas plays Michigan in the Sweet 16, that's a ball game. I don't care if Michigan's gone 6-6.
I absolutely believe
that's a ball
game. I agree with you completely. I just think, you know, as far as a big upset in the first round, I'm keeping an eye on South Dakota State.
That'll be a fun game to watch.
Yeah,
that Walters kid's a really good player.
Yeah, if he's making shots.
Yeah,
I actually if he has a good day, Michigan loses. Now, the thing is, Michigan has so many guys who can shut a guy like that down. I say what you want about the Big Ten. It's a great league this year. So I think that those teams do kind of rise to the top just a little bit once the NCAA. I don't think it's anything drastic. I don't think the Big Ten is like, you know, the SEC has been in college football for the last 6 years or anything like that.
Yeah.
But I do think that Michigan may be underseeded a little bit as a four. Maybe, just maybe. I think you can debate that all day long. But, yeah, I mean, I just like Kansas's road there. I think that I'm going to pick them to get to the Final Four.
Are you? Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you that right now. I'm going to pick them to get to the Final Four.
And I got them losing to Florida in the Elite Eight.
Don't you think that McLemore, though, this is kind of his time to shine?
You know, it is his time to shine, especially if he wants to be a top pick in the draft. I think no bigger stage than the NCAA tournament. His big thing for me is unless he's getting shots by passing, you know, off the dribble, or he's not an off the dribble guy. So you can put a guy on him and completely take him out of the game, in my opinion, as long as you say you're face guarding him.
I was talking to, I went out and had a beer with Sean Keeler after the game. Remember Sean?
Oh, yeah. How's Sean doing?
Doing very well.
Good.
He's down in Kansas City now, and he did a piece on, you know, on the Iowa State-Kansas game.
Yeah.
And apparently he was interviewing McLemore, and McLemore doesn't want anything to do with Chris Babb.
I believe it.
And he just basically came out and said it, too. I wasn't in there. Sean was telling me about it, though.
Which really makes his performance down and at Kansas, where he scored 30-some points, that much more
just
incredible.
Just unbelievable.
It really does. Because no one's done that on Chris Babb in 2 years at Iowa State, or even got close. Has anyone scored 20 points on Babb?
I don't know. That'd be
let alone 30?
Something good to look up. It's hard, though, because they've moved Babb around so much the last couple years. It's like, you know, if Pierre Jackson gets hot, move Chris Babb over to him.
That's true.
What they've done. It's really hard to get an actual number, but as far as the guys who he starts the game out on, he's been asked Stephen Pledger about Chris Babb. That'd be an I think Chris Babb could play in the NBA. I really do. They always say that you can't do, you can't be good at a lot of things. You have to be great at one thing. I think he's a great defender, and he's a very good shooter. You don't see it on this Iowa State roster because he's not the guy getting. He is so. I really think his defense, and he would never admit it, and he would get pissed if he heard me say this. His defense, I think, has affected his offensive game during his time. He's being asked to face guard the best player on every single team. That's going to wear on you.
You know, it is, but if you look at his 3-point shooting percentage the last 10 games, it's phenomenal.
It's great.
It's got to be really good.
Once Boo Boo Paolo came back to the lineup, he's getting a blow, and he's gotten significantly better on offense.
I don't know if I'd say he's an NBA player, but he's definitely got NBA range in his 3-point shot.
My point is, he's not going to be an NBA starter.
No.
I think he could be a 7-8-9 guy who is your defensive specialist who can come in and hit some shots. He's got the body for it.
Like a Bruce Bowen.
Yeah, exactly. Just like a Bruce Bowen.
Maybe an inch or two short.
Possibly.
Maybe. I don't know. But
I don't know. I sat and watched that Heat-Celtics game last night. And, you know, to me, like, Babb looks like a guy who could blend in on one of those benches.
Yeah, I could see
it. Team full of superstars. Bring him in for 10 minutes a game and let him defend the crap out of somebody.
He's got an NBA body, strength-wise. Yes. He's physical. He knows
smart.
How to defend. He's smart, very smart defensively.
I don't know, man. I think pro prospects who are going out right now, name one at Iowa State. I used to think Clyburn. I don't see it now.
No.
I think he's more of a Europe guy, and he's going to make a very good living over there.
Yes, he will.
He'll be a great player in Europe. I thought at one point he had a shot, just not seeing it 100% at this point in time. Is there a guy, though, coming out right now that has a better shot than Chris Babb?
On Iowa State's team?
Yeah.
None. No. Okay. No, I'm not arguing with you on that. But I've said all year long, I don't think there's an NBA player on this team. You got just a lot of really good players that match up pretty well offensively.
Which makes Iowa State the matchup that it is.
Because
there's six guys that literally can kill you on any given night.
I guarantee, maybe I'm wrong, if I'm Ohio State, I'd rather play Notre Dame than Iowa State.
Oh, no question.
I mean, I would not
want to play Iowa State. No question at all. All right, interesting things you saw when you looked at the bracket, Adam. I think Kansas is due for a fire. I think they're going to another Final Four.
I think Oklahoma State, another Big 12 team, got absolutely hosed by getting Oregon in the 12 seed.
When that popped up, and again, I had to kind of bite my tongue because I was hanging out with a bunch of Big 12 guys, but I go, there's your 5-12. Because did you watch Oregon on Saturday night, the Pac-12 championship?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a completely different – and Dana Altman's a great coach.
He is a very good coach.
He will coach in circles around Travis Ford.
Yes, he will.
In that game. I mean, if Oklahoma State can hold on to that game, it's strictly off of the talent that they have, period. There's no – it's not even a coaching matchup.
You know what, though? Here's the thing about that, though. That's very similar, again, to what you were just saying earlier about Iowa State playing Notre Dame in a big name. Oklahoma State, they might be one of those teams, too, that if they saw maybe like a Bucknell in that 12 game,
yeah,
maybe they get a little overconfident. They see an Oregon there.
Yeah, the thing about Oklahoma State is Marcus Smart not the perfect NCAA tournament guard?
You
couldn't draw one up better than that.
No,
guy.
And as bad of a coach as me and you both think Travis Ford is, and we don't think he's very good.
Correct.
He still has talent on that team. He's got a lot of talent at the guard position in the NCAA tournament.
I will still probably pick Oklahoma State.
I will, too.
But it would not surprise me at all if Oregon would win that.
The 12-5 I'm looking at right now is California beating UNLV. UNLV beat them earlier in the year at Cal. But you got Montgomery as a coach out there.
Yeah.
Great coach. Hard to beat a team twice. And UNLV's got a lot of young talent. I'm going to go. I'll take Cal in that 12-5 game.
Well, and it's like 2 hours away from Cal's campus, too.
Yeah. It's not very far from UNLV either.
No, I mean, that's probably an overblown topic when it comes to the tournament. But I think it's something you absolutely have to consider.
You know what? That Ole Miss kid, that Henderson. I don't know if you've been following this kid.
I don't watch the SEC basketball. Well, I refuse to watch it.
Nor should you. What is there? Two teams in the NCAA tournament for the SEC?
I don't watch it.
Just not a good conference.
No.
But that Henderson kid, he's the kid who I think he played over at Oregon, then he went to Texas Tech, and then he went to a junior college, and now he's at Ole Miss. He's had a couple run-ins. He's the guy, very flamboyant when he makes his jump shots. Fun to watch. If he's in the Big 12 and he played for someone else, we'd all hate him. But anyway, he's going and playing someone completely different style in Wisconsin, another 12-5 matchup. I would love nothing more than to see Wisconsin lose that game.
Why do I always think Wisconsin's going to lose in the NCAA tournament? Every year I think I pick them to, because they're always in that 5-12 game.
Yeah, they are. You know what? It's because of their style of play.
Yeah.
Because they're never out of games, as you see when they're playing teams with superior talent, and they're never kicking any, they're never blowing anyone out because of their style of play. And Big Ten officiating, you know, it helps them out, in my opinion. It helps out a team like Wisconsin. You go to the NCAA tournament where you don't maybe get the Big Ten officiating. I don't know. I know where you're coming from.
I think Miami is a threat to go to a Final Four.
Do you? Okay.
I think they've been overlooked all year. I think that Larrañaga is an elite coach. I do. I thought that was a disaster hire when they brought him to Miami. I'm like, what are you bringing this old man down to Miami for? But actually, it's a pretty easy place to recruit to, obviously.
Yep.
And you combine that with the old man who's a great basketball mind, and it's really worked out. I think that they, again, are undervalued. I really do. They've been overlooked all year. I mean, they've been right up there in the top five. Nobody talks about them. To me, they can give Indiana a major scare in the Elite Eight.
I completely agree. And really, I look at that East bracket. It's not a very difficult bracket for them to kind of go through it early on. I mean, Illinois, Colorado, they'll beat either of those teams. And Marquette, Butler.
Yeah, it's a much easier bracket than what Louisville, the top seed, drew.
That they got hosed.
That's just a stupid bracket when you factor in Coach K, Tom Izzo, Rick Pitino. Missouri's your 9. I mean, that's a tough matchup. You know what I mean? That's a tough game as a 9 seed. You Stacey there.
Are you telling me Stacey with 5 seniors can't beat Louisville? Because I think he could. I'm not saying I won't pick him, but
I'm picking Stacey to make it to the second round, but he won't beat Louisville.
You don't think? I mean, I'm not saying he will either.
No.
But he's got 5 seniors.
Yeah.
Eustace, it would not surprise me if they beat
little,
Louisville.
Little Wes Eichmeyer action.
Little Colton Iverson, another ex-Iowa State recruit out there.
Yeah, I remember that guy.
Yeah, played up in Minnesota.
They were obsessed with him there for a while.
How many ex-Iowa State people are in the NCAA tournament?
You got Eric McKnight down at Florida Gulf Coast. You got Clint Mann hanging out at Davison. There's more.
You got North Dakota State. You got our ex-commit, Dykstra, who's playing at North
Dykstra,
Dakota
State. Dykstra, yep. Little Tavon Sledge at Iona, which could potentially match up with Iowa State, should the 15 knock off the 2. They're all over the place. You got the McDermotts hanging out over there at Creighton.
Eustace at Colorado State.
I mean, what else am I missing? They're everywhere.
Yeah.
You got, I think that's it. I think we got them covered. By the way, we were talking Oregon. Remember Elgin Cook?
Yeah.
He just committed to Oregon last week.
Oh, did he? Good for him.
Yeah.
Good for him.
He went the JUCO route. They were really excited, I remember, when he committed.
To Iowa State?
Yeah, back in the day. And then
Well, I saw he just put up 25 points.
Yeah,
and
he's a great athlete. Yeah. I mean, he'll fit in really well out at Oregon, actually.
Yeah.
Altman, he'll be a good player. Yeah, I actually think he'll be one of the Pac-12's top players in 2 years.
Do you?
Yeah, he's a very talented kid. Who,
what is he, about 6'7", 6'8"?
Yeah, he's 6'7", I think.
Good probably athlete, long arms.
6'6", 6'7"-ish, yeah. I would say. Really could jump out of the gym. I was really hoping that he would have made it to Iowa State. Do you think the Zags got a shot?
Absolutely do.
I haven't seen a lot of them.
Mainly because I think they're being disrespected like crazy.
Yeah, absolutely they are. I think that if Wichita could give Gonzaga a hard time, they're in the second round.
Yeah, no, I think, you
know, the way the Marshall's team plays.
With the way parity is in college basketball right now, there's not one 8-9 game where I don't look at and say this team, that team could lose. I mean, I look at NC State playing Indiana. Are you telling me NC State can't beat Indiana?
No, absolutely they can. Kansas State could beat Gonzaga.
Who?
Kansas State.
Yeah, they could. Yeah.
I don't think Wisconsin can. That's a bad matchup for Wisconsin, but I think Kansas State.
I would completely agree with you.
Let's see.
What, I don't know if I like K-State. Well, you know, K-State-Wisconsin would be a great
the
matchup.
West really is wide open. If you want Iowa State to make a run, that's the best bracket for them to be in.
I completely agree.
Because I haven't looked at Ohio. You think Iowa State could beat Ohio State?
I think if they get past Notre Dame, this is my thought process. Corey Lucius versus Kraft is the biggest matchup in that game, period. Can Corey Lucius take care of the ball against the best defending point guard in college basketball? But from there, you got Deshaun Thomas, who Chris Babb is going to hopefully bab him, just D him up, lock him down. And from there, I don't think Ohio State's offensively talented enough to where Iowa State's ever out of that ball game. So I think with 5 minutes left in the game, Iowa State would be in that game, and that's all you can ask for.
And just look at it this way. If Iowa State can play Kansas the way it has this year, why can't it do that with Ohio State?
Kansas won at Ohio State earlier on this year.
Yeah, that's my point. Yeah. There's not a lot of difference between those two teams.
I completely agree.
In fact, I would argue that I like Kansas better than Ohio State.
I do, too.
So, yeah, you're right. It's
they don't score enough to where Iowa State would ever be out of that game, in my opinion.
I agree.
Maybe I'm wrong, but I just...
You like Steve Alford's team?
For one round.
One round? You got him beat.
Well, I mean,
Harvard.
Let's be honest. Steve, how many times has Steve Alford lost or done well in the tournament?
No, that's just the way they are, yeah. They're one of those teams that's not good.
He already won his championship. He's good to go. He's putting that on his resume for his next team. He won the Mountain West tournament championship, just like he won the Big Ten championship at Iowa.
Steve Alford cracks me up. I love watching the Hawk fans just hate on him and as he's just winning championships. And
he is a good coach.
I think he is too. He's just kind of a bad human being from what I've heard.
Yeah, he's just
I don't know that firsthand experience. I'm just going based off of what people say.
You know, I got a buddy who's pretty close with Steve. He loves Steve. He won't say a bad word about Steve.
That's good.
I think he's just got a big ego. You know, you come from Indiana. You're an Indiana golden child.
Most people in college basketball do have large egos.
Yeah.
Fred Hoiberg doesn't. I can tell you that. I've never met a human being who should have a massive ego who doesn't.
Yeah.
Like Fred Hoiberg. He's kind of the...
And that's why he's loved by so many people, too.
Yeah. Well, that's why he's the mayor.
He's the mayor.
If he would have been a horrible human being while he was at Iowa State, he wouldn't be called the mayor. And if he was, it wouldn't have stuck. He probably wouldn't be here now. I mean, he just makes good decisions, treats people right, and that's why he's beloved. So who's your national champ? Have you gone that far yet?
You know what? I haven't. Just looking through this here, I'm going to go crazy. People are going to think.
It's going to go crazy, eh?
People are thinking I'm, you know, out there. I'm going to take Florida.
You're going to take Florida?
I'm going to take Florida.
All right. I think you're a little high on the Gators.
I know.
I think they're a good team, and I think if they get hot, they could absolutely be in the mix. But I think you're overvaluing just a little bit. Just my opinion.
I thought you told me about 5 minutes ago you haven't watched SEC basketball this year.
Well, I've seen Florida, though. Because
okay.
I watched a lot of non-conference
Just when
ball.
You disagree with me is when you've watched
no,
it.
I watch a lot of non-conference ball, you know, in November, December. That's my favorite time of the year.
That's when they look good, man.
Yeah. And so that's why I agree with you.
Yeah.
I watch a lot of those games because you get the, you know, the Kansas-Ohio State matchups, that type of – and obviously these teams change a lot throughout the year. I don't know. I haven't filled out my bracket yet either. I'm still kind of working on that. I think, I don't know, and I know I'm a little bit biased because I cover them, but I think Kansas is a tough out. I'm not saying I think they win the national title. To get to another championship game, though, would not surprise me.
Well, I mean, look what they did last year. I didn't think that Kansas team last year was anything special talent-wise, and he had them championship game. I mean,
no, absolutely. I think the job he did last year was probably even better than the job he's done this year.
I would agree.
So, I mean, I don't see this being one of those Kansas teams from 5-10 years ago that gets knocked out early. They defend too well. Their guards scare the crap out of me. I don't trust Elijah Johnson, but he's not. He's also a senior.
Yeah.
You know, if he was a sophomore doing what he does, I'd probably be a little bit more nervous. I don't know, man. I just.
You remember when we watched Kansas play Michigan State this year up in Ames? Remember that?
Yes, yes, I do.
And
we were sitting at Old Main, actually.
Old Main, enjoying a nice cold brewski. And
Dinky Weed, I believe.
Yes, it was delicious. I'm actually thirsty right now thinking about it. But, no, Michigan State beat Kansas that game, and I was so impressed with them. I think I told you this, that March Madness comes, I'm gonna have them win the national championship. But after watching them play this last couple month or so, if they don't score inside, they can't score.
You're Michigan State?
Yeah.
You're not an Izzo guy?
No, I love Izzo.
So come on. I mean, you got to put the Izzo value. You got to overvalue him because of Tom Izzo alone, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, Michigan State, Duke, though. I think Duke can pack it in. They can make enough jump shots over Michigan State to beat them.
Duke, that's another sleeper.
How can you be a sleeper as a two seed and your name's Duke?
Because
Duke,
nobody's talking about him.
Duke's never a sleeper.
They're in the league. They're in the same region as the top overall seed. Who's talking about Duke right now? Have you heard anybody talk about Duke?
Jay Billis and Dick Vitale. Whoa. Huge Duke fans.
Yeah. What a shock.
Jay Williams.
What a shocker. Jay Billis and Duke EV are talking up the Blue Devils. I'm serious. I mean, it's all Louisville and Indiana.
I want to know if you know what the word sleeper means, though. If you like,
I get your point. But my point, and I think that most people are just writing Louisville off into the Final Four. They've got Tom Izzo and Mike Krzyzewski to deal with.
That bracket's ridiculously hard.
Yeah. Even St. Louis, I mean, it's hard to call them a sleeper as a four, but that's a good team.
Very good team.
They're nasty. Have you seen them play?
They're men.
Yeah. I mean, I'd love, like, Iowa State to adapt that mentality heading into the Notre Dame.
Practice against them for a week or
those
so.
Those guys are nasty.
They are. They are. And
just saying, like, the reason you know what I mean? Everybody is just writing Louisville off into the Final Four. I'm going to put Duke in the Final Four from that region.
Well, it's because you're watching ESPN all the time, and what does ESPN do? They always go with what's the hot thing. Louisville just won the Big East tournament, so they're just going to...
Although the Big East tournament champion generally does pretty well in the tournament.
Yes, they do.
We've seen that.
Yeah.
You know who I think is the most undervalued team in the entire NCAA tournament?
Let's hear it.
Syracuse.
I agree, especially in that bracket.
Yeah.
Look at that.
Got one bad half against Louisville. They just beat Georgetown, who is a great team. I mean, that's as good of a Georgetown team as I've seen. And they were, man, nobody picked Georgetown to do anything at the beginning of the year. I mean, they kind of come from no. I think Syracuse is a four. They should be a three seed, in my opinion. I think the committee whiffed on that one.
Okay, but if you're going to move them out of a three seed, who are you going to put in there? Marquette? Are you going to trade them with Marquette? They won the Big East or tied for the Big East, didn't they?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if you can do that, but I like Syracuse better than Marquette.
I gotcha.
There's no question about that.
Especially because of who their coach is, too.
Butler, any chance Butler makes a run this year?
No.
No, I agree.
No.
Been there, done that.
Their six seed seems a little high to me. A lot of value on that early win against Indiana.
Boy, the days changed, though, because you got VCU as a five, Butler as a six. Those guys used to be like Cinderella.
They'd be the 12 seeds.
Yeah, they're not anymore.
Yep.
I do like Butler's program, though. I think it's fun when those Indiana, you know, because those people, it's cool to see like basketball crazed schools.
Yeah.
That are not Duke and North Carolina.
Do well.
Yeah, I like the Midwestern. I like Indiana. I like what Tom Crean's done.
You Tom Crean? Yeah, I've always.
I don't really like him, but I like the fact that he struggled and they stuck with him and they let him, you know, build his program, and now it's paying off. That's what I like about how Tom Crean's done it.
I agree with you. I love that they stuck with him, and it seems like he's done things the right way.
He seems a little bit arrogant.
His mentality drives me nuts.
Yeah, I agree.
Just drives me nuts.
He's got a little Bill Self without the national championship.
Honestly,
soon.
I think he's a very average coach. I think he's a great coach. I think he's very average. I think he's recruited really well down there. They brought in a great class, a lot of freshmen and sophomores. Not in love with him as a coach, though.
All right, that's fair. That's fair.
So, I'll tell you what, though. We're getting back to Butler here for a second. You know, me and you both don't think Butler can make a run, right? We think not this year.
Maybe the Sweet 16.
Everyone's picking.
They're not beating Miami.
Everyone's picking Bucknell to beat him because the 6'11 pro guy that Bucknell's got. when people start talking, not talking about Butler and being good, that's when they usually get you.
No, I get burned every year by Butler in the first round. I'm not doing that again.
But seriously, how lucky of a team has Butler been over the years and some of their wins in the NCAA tournament? I mean, just the craziest wins they've had.
Yeah, no, I agree. They are they're a fun team. I really appreciate Brad Stevens. That's hard to do. I mean,
great coach.
It's hard to do. He's kind of like the stat geek of college basketball.
Yeah,
you know what? People don't realize how much Hoiberg and Otzelberger are obsessed with those stats and the KenPom and all that stuff. I mean, this is becoming a pandemic across college basketball.
Well, is it after the 3-point foul on the 3-point?
No, they were doing it way before then, and that was one of the reasons why they made that decision.
Yeah,
because for real, I mean, KenPom came out like 3 weeks after that because you know that week there were like. Seemed like 10 of them.
Iowa, Michigan State.
And KenPom's stats, I mean, basically said that you're actually better off to win the game very slightly. I mean, it's just marginal. I think it has so much to do with matchups, and I think it has more to do with matchups and knowledge of your basketball team than it does what any statistics should tell you.
Well, how many times have we seen Iowa State give up an offensive rebound on a free throw?
Exactly. Especially with Jeff Withey on the other team.
Yeah.
You can't.
And especially with seeing refs not call over the back on Jeff Withey over the years. I mean, come on.
In Allen Fieldhouse? Come on. You're really going to take your chances with that?
That game will sting me forever.
That was a brutal one. Just brutal. All right, Adam. Well, we appreciate your time today.
Yeah, no, thanks for having me on. It was fun.
We need to wrap it up. I got to get ready for Dayton again. Channel Seed, our good friends here at Channel Seed, channel.com. They are supporting Cyclone Fanatic in all of our coverage of the 2013 NCAA tournament. For Adam Gray, I'm Chris Williams. So long, and thanks for listening, everybody.
Go Cyclones.